All participants, please stand by. Your conference is about to begin. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Michael Kuta. Please go ahead, Mr. Kuta.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the fourth quarter 2008 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Ltd. on Thursday, March 26, 2009. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. You should review our press release issued yesterday and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form, under the heading Description of the Business, Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Finally, we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now, I'd like to introduce our chairman, Mr. Stephen Dean.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning and good afternoon to everyone. Thanks for dialing in to listen to our conference call for the Q4 and 2008 financial results. It's been a particularly challenging one for the industry and for Amerigo as well. This last 6 months in the base metals industry, but I guess business globally has been a challenge with all the unpredictability and credit and other financial challenges that come with being in business at the end of 2008 and early 2009. Management, I can assure you, here at Amerigo have been doing their best and giving their full effort and attention to dealing with our particular circumstances and challenges, and on this call I hope to elaborate with the help of the Dr. Zeidler and Ms. Davison, our CFO, on some of those initiatives and challenges that we've dealt with and the outlook as we embark on 2009. The company during 2008 generated an operating loss of approximately $1.3 million, and that's before a write-down of $18.8 million, which was a non-cash write-down of the company's investments in two exploration development companies, Los Andes Copper and Candente Resources. Those write-downs totaled for the year about $18 million. In the Q4 specifically, it totaled approximately $6.6 million U.S. dollars. In addition, the company had to deal with, in Q4 2008, negative price settlement adjustments for copper and molybdenum of approximately $12.4 million, and that, of course, generates in itself cash flow challenges, which I will elaborate on shortly. Having said that, the cash flow from operating activities, as we disclosed in the report, was approximately $10.6 million or 11 cents per share in 2008. Our production in 2008 was a new record of 34.6 million pounds of copper and 769,000 pounds of moly. Our selling price before smelter refining and other charges was $2.77 average in 2008, but as low as $1.31 per pound in the fourth quarter of 2008. As those of you who have been following the company would be keenly aware prior to the financial and credit crisis globally, the company's specific challenge has been high power costs in Chile. We, of course, are not the only ones dealing with that. All industry and all other copper companies in Chile have been having to struggle with very high grid costs, grid power costs in Chile as a result of the termination of gas supplies from Argentina, which provided a large percentage of power generation for the country. That has caused per kilowatt hour electricity costs to skyrocket for parts of the year of 2008 and 2007 in the high to mid 30 cents per kilowatt hour. And in fact, for the 2008 year, they averaged 21 cents a kilowatt hour. That compares with energy costs when the company commenced business with ownership of NBC in 2003-04 of about 4 to 5 cents a kilowatt hour. Energy, due to the nature of our operation, energy and electricity is the single largest cost by far, and so therefore, because we are essentially an industrial producer of copper by virtue of us retreating these tailings, it has a much larger impact. Energy and electricity costs have a much larger impact on our business than a traditional mining company, where the cost of ball mills and other electricity and pumps and what have you in plants are a much lower percentage of the total cost than they are for NBC. Operating costs started to trend lower in the Q4, and they've continued to do in the Q1 2009. However, the cost reductions that you're seeing as a result of lower steel costs, oil prices, reagents, etc., typically lagged in this downturn in the cycle, as they typically are in and have been in other downturns. The difference, of course, is that the speed with which the metal prices have fallen in comparison to other downturns in the base metal sector over the last 20 or 30 years has caused this lag effect to be more pronounced in all copper producing operations and clearly in those of Amerigo and NBC. Having said that, in December 2009, we did indicate that we saw the cost trending down, and I'll elaborate on that in a moment. In 2009, also, as listeners would be aware, we commenced what we called our energy self-sufficient project, which specifically is the construction of two 10-megawatt generators at the NBC plant site, which enables us to generate approximately 20 megawatts of power at a relatively low cost per megawatt in comparison to other similar power projects under construction at present in Chile and globally of around $20 million. Klaus will discuss the commissioning of those shortly, but we're pleased to say that we have commenced commissioning of those generators in the Q1 2009, which will give us substantial flexibility on power costs going forward. Our cash costs for 2008, because of those high power costs, were particularly high. Management did all that they could in terms of cost reduction initiatives during the year for costs over which we have control or power. But, of course, energy and electricity is a grid cost, and there was not much that management could do other than negotiate the best contract that we could. But the average cost, cash costs, as disclosed in the Q4 report for 2008, was $2.01 per pound compared to 2007 of $1.50. Having said that, the analysis that's contained in the MD&A would suggest to you that those production costs in particular, which contain the electricity costs, show a clear trend of reduction as we approach the year end of 2008. We hope, with the exception of the possible exception of Q1 of 2009, we hope to see that continue to trend down. CapEx in 2008 totaled $23 million. A substantial portion of that was incurred in the Q4 of 2008. We also paid dividends of $11.8 million during the year, and we made additional investments in Candente in Los Angeles of about $4 million. Consistent with our dividend policy that was established several years ago, when the company is not making money, we won't be paying dividends, so we've suspended dividends for the time being until positive cash flow and earnings return, and we made that announcement in the Q4 package released on yesterday. Cash continues to be tight. We did get the benefit of a private placement financing of about $10 million Canadian earlier in the 2009 year. Cash continues to be tight, but our new arrangements in relation to cost reductions and deferral of costs and extending out of our liabilities subject to copper prices and a number of other factors should put us towards positive cash flow as the 2009 year transpires. Just some comments specifically aimed at the cash flow and liquidity challenges that the company's been dealing with over the last 3 to 6 months. It's fair to say that the company has consistently been managed conservatively from a financial perspective. Until 2008, the company had no long-term bank debt and paid for all expansion and investment capital, totaling over the last 5 years in excess of $120 million from cash flow, and that would include after paying some $33 million in dividends over the last 5 years. The result of which meant, and it was part of our strategy, that this would leave our balance sheet unlevered on the assumption, and unfortunately, with 2020 hindsight, but management's responsible for this decision, leaving our balance sheet unlevered to allow capacity for debt if required. Having said that, unfortunately, the unforeseen circumstance of debt and bank debt in particular not being available globally was never anticipated. Consequentially, the unprecedented speed of fall in commodity prices and the effective shuttering of those debt markets globally, which happened to coincide with a cash low point of the company due to the higher power costs that I've alluded to earlier in Chile and the investment of $20 million in the power generation project, placed the company in a liquidity crisis in Q4 that could not have been predicted. Management's focus immediately swung to cash management, cost reduction, and the negotiation of deferral and extension of liabilities with key partners and suppliers, and the securing of some bank debt in Chile. Cost reduction efforts were challenged, of course, by the fact that electricity is by far the company's major cost and not in management's control. Combined with the fact that Chilean energy supply remained in crisis due to the Argentinian gas supply termination in 2007. The good news today is that experts are now predicting power costs in Chile to trend lower over 2009 as hydro production and new generating facilities that have been installed in the country reduce the marginal power costs over the course of this year and next. This, combined with our new flexibility to generate our own power from our own generators, will contribute to major cost reductions going forward. As we said, stated in December, we see those cost reductions potentially trending towards $120 to $125 later in the year, which in combination with the current $1.70 to $1.80 copper price, and if that prevails, should ensure the company moves back towards strong positive cash flow as we've enjoyed in previous years. I'd like to now invite Dr. Zeidler to make some comments about current operations, the status of the generators, and what he sees as the outlook for 2009. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, well, as Stephen already said, the last quarter of 2008 and certainly also the first quarter of 2009 are very challenging quarters, not only from, as he said, from a liquidity point of view, but also from the point of view of how to restructure operations in such a way that we can produce with the lowest cost and particularly the lowest cash costs under the prevailing situation. One of the first things which we had to do in that context was to reorient our production from the old tailings, from Colliers especially. And the reason we had to do that was because at high copper, in the high copper scenario of the first three quarters of last year, we were basically recovering tailings from these old tailings ponds in a horizontal way. In other words, we were recovering the tailings from the top layers of the tailings ponds. At low copper prices, it became quite clear that this is not an effective way of producing copper. So we used the first quarter, the last few months in 2008 and first quarter, to completely reorient our facilities in the old tailings ponds to produce now basically in a vertical way rather than in a horizontal way from these tailings. This will have a significant positive effect in the remaining months of 2009, because we will not only mine then very much higher grade, but also tailings which are qualitatively much better. In other words, our recoveries from these tailings will be significantly higher than from the tailings which we mined in a horizontal way from the top layers of the tailings. So that combined with, as Stephen said, the lower trending electricity costs will have a significant effect on operating costs and on our results. I mean, just electricity alone, with what we see coming now, is that we should save between $15 and $20 million per annum in comparison to last year's electricity costs. From a liquidity point of view, we also enter now a low capital expenditure period. You can see from our statement of the results that we had $23 million of capital expenditures in 2008, and that will significantly come down to a range of $3 to $4 million this year. So we will save liquidity-wise another $20 million from that source. just to elaborate a little bit more on some other costs other than electricity, the next important cost items for us are steel balls. Steel prices, as you know, also have come down, but that will trigger into the accounting side only in a delayed fashion because we are still using, at this point, steel balls which we bought 2 or 3 months ago at a higher price. But overall, costs for steel balls have come down from a range of about $1,700 per ton, sort of around the middle of last year, to presently about $1,000. The same is true with reagents. Reagent costs are coming down, and in a delayed fashion, we will see that in the coming quarters. I think that's about all I'd like to say at this point. If there are any further questions, we can discuss the operating results further.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you are using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad, and you can cancel your question if you wish by dialing the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. And the first question is from Mr. Tom Meyer in Toronto. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Stephen. Hi, Klaus. Maybe, Klaus, could you expand on the switch from horizontal to vertical? And is it an oxidation issue or like a grain size / grade that gives you the better performance when you go horizontal and find with depth better recoveries?
Well, it's mainly an oxidation issue. We have always known that the top layers have a high oxidation, and we have always known that we get lower recoveries from the top layers. It was the easiest way of getting at the tailings, and it was at high copper prices also a profitable way of doing it. And in addition to that, it would have given us a huge area to then go down over time to lower levels. So switching now to a vertical way of recovering will give us, as I said, the higher grades, the better recoveries and all that, but it will limit us in a way. We will not be able to expand to the 45,000 ton level as fast as we could have if we could have continued a little bit longer in the horizontal way of recovering these tailings.
Okay.
Well, Tom, if I can just make a comment, Klaus's description is designed to allow everyone to understand, even non-technical people to understand the approach. But if you could imagine, because of your experience, you could imagine it's a bit like an open pit, right? It's a bit like doing the initial strip of an open pit, and you start off with a wide area, and then you come in on benches into the higher grade material where the ore is, And so what we're doing now is moving towards that average grade and average quality of the material that we expect over the life of the operation. And what we've incurred during the larger part of 2008 was the pre-strip being the oxidized material. We're now at a position where we would have liked this cloud fed to open a much, much wider position, but given cash flow and more importantly copper prices, we've now decided to stop doing the big strip and move in and start mining closer to average ore grade and quality grade material.
Okay, that's very helpful. And then the final question is, can you expand or quantify on the copper quota that you have with Anami in 2008? I think they mentioned in the release that the volume was not met in that shortfall. I think what the real impact is that you get a delay, you get like kind of last month's pricing for that volume not delivered. Is that the way to look at it?
Well, yeah, if you don't meet a monthly quota, then, you know, that material which you have not met is pushed forward into the next month. And for that reason, quotas have been pushed forward into 2009. It doesn't have any effect from the TCRC point of view, because they are the same for us in 2008 and 2009, it may even have a beneficial effect on pricing, because the prices have recovered from the low months in November, December, January.
And are these quotas set annually? Like, or should we expect 2008 volumes to be the same for 2009 over the year?
So you have to give the smelter, or in this case the trader, I mean Enami now is a trader, the quotas which you expect in the beginning of the year. So you have to give them, you know, your deliveries for each month, and then if the actual deliveries diverge from that, then you either have a shortfall or, you know, you have a surplus, and then you know, the deliveries are not the same as the quotas of the month.
So have you provided Anami with guidance for this fiscal 2009, and are they the same as 2008?
Yeah, we have, and they are slightly higher.
Can you just maybe throw out maybe either, if not the specific number, roughly the percentage? Are we talking 5 or 10% higher than 08 for 09?
Yeah, in that range.
Okay, I'll pass it on. Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Ms. Teresa Lee in Toronto. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Can you talk a bit about or just comment on whether you're comfortable with your balance sheet and liquidity post the financing in Q4 if the commodity prices stay at current levels?
Subject to all the factors that we've disclosed in the financial statements and the outlook and copper prices, moly prices, electricity prices, for the time being, yes, we are comfortable.
And does cash flow does cash flow return to positive after the power plant is finished in Q2? If commodity prices stay constant?
How do you define cash flow in that respect?
Just in your cash flow from operations?
Well, the difficulty of answering that question comes from the fact that, as we have said in our results, we had $12.5 million negative pricing adjustment in 2008. So this $12 million, we have to repay these $12 million to the moly roaster and to the concentrate buyer.
Right.
And so that will affect our cash flow in 2009. As Stephen has said earlier, we have been quite successful in negotiating with the off-takers some delay in the payment of these $12.5 million, which, as you recall, the prices in January and February were also very low, and so this $12.5 million increase during these 2 months, and so this is a significant total then which has to be repaid to these off-takers, and we have been quite successful in delaying that these payments, but we still have to make payments in 2009, and these payments will affect our cash flow in 2009.
Okay, and these payments are included in your liabilities?
Yes, of course. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
If your question is related to operating results for the year, excluding the reduction of balance sheet amounts, subject to the initiatives that we've talked about in the MD&A, we will be moving to positive cash flow again.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. And the next question is from Steve Ottridge in Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, gentlemen. Just on the tailings and the vertical mining, if that's the right word, is that started now, or is it going to start later?
We are in the process of starting it up. Yes, we will be mining there with full startup in April.
In April. Okay. Now, presumably, is the grade higher, or lower down, just because it's just typical weight of copper would sink lower, and that's why it's higher grade, lower down?
Well, it's from years which were further back, and so at that time, the grades in the El Teniente mine were higher, and therefore also the tailings grades, the old tailings grades in these years were higher.
Okay.
So, the average grade will be somewhere between 0.25 and 0.3%, and with sulfide grade, which is the grade which we can recover, of about 0.2, 0.22, while in the oxidized we had significantly lower sulfide grade, which can be recovered to the tune of 4 to 5 times lower.
Okay, well, that's really good to know.
Steve, it's a recoverable grade that's critical, not so much the total grade.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I guess, too, will you be writing up the values of your holdings every quarter? I mean, Candente is, what, almost twice the price it was at December the 31st.
The accounting rules don't allow that, unfortunately.
So you write them down, but you can never write them up. Is that right?
It's a ratchet down, not one that goes up again, unfortunately. But that's fine, because in the event of from a balance sheet perspective, it's a good lower book value is always a good thing.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, well that's good. And then on these charges. On these deferred charges, what kind of interest rate are you having to pay for deferring them?
As we said in the MD&A, it's about the prime Chilean rate plus or minus 2%. Or not minus, but approximately 2%.
Okay, not bad. Okay, that's fine for me. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Alvaro Sahardin in Chile. Please go ahead. The next question is from Mr. Alvaro Sahardin. Please go ahead, Mr. Sahardin. Your line is open.
Yes, sir. Hi, everyone. I need to know if you have the 20 megawatt plants working right now. Which is the marginal cost of production right now?
No, we haven't said that it is working right now. We are in the process of commissioning it. So it's not working yet, but, you know, we hope that in the next few days it will be working. But and the cost will depend on heavy fuel oil costs, which of course change every day, just as the crude oil costs change.
So you don't have a forecast when it will be? So a forecast of the marginal cost that
will be? Well, at crude oil prices, which usually are then sooner or later reflected in heavy fuel oil prices of between $40 and $50 mm-hmm. crude oil per barrel, we should be able to run it at about 10 cents.
10 cents. Okay. I have another question. I don't know if I can ask it really, but can we talk about the about Ross and Crestal Capital, like the holding?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Is that Ross has had the control of the company, right? And now it's have been transferred to a hedge fund named Crestal Capital. So can we know about what's going to happen with the warrants that Ross had for options of buying stocks of the future?
But we're not at liberty to comment on Mr. Beattie's situation, okay. But by all means, you can address that question to him.
Okay. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from Alan Arnold in New Orleans. Please go ahead.
You touched on the difference in the liabilities, 07, 34 versus 50 million, 08. I guess the 12.5 million is the chargeback. What really does the $50 million represent in liabilities on the balance sheet end of the year?
Well, as the financial statements disclose, the $50 million in total represents $33 million of current liabilities and approximately $17 million of non-current liabilities. And of the $33 million, current liabilities, accounts payable and other accrued liabilities are about $18 million. We have bank loans of $9 million, and then other accounts payable and loans, which make up the difference. Our long-term liabilities include the restructuring, as we've disclosed, of the negative price settlement adjustments with our partner NAMI of about $6 million. Of the 17, and the balance are things like future income tax, which is an accounting generated number, and an amount for non-controlling interest of about $5 million. And there's an amount of about $5 million for asset retirement obligation, which is an accounting requirement for the rehabilitation of the site once the contract expires in 2021.
I guess that's detailed elsewhere. I'm just looking at the release on the internet, and it's all put together. So I guess a further release that would be detailed.
You can pick that up if you just go to the Canadian CEDAR website. You'll be able to pick up the full set of consolidated balance sheets and notes of those on the internet.
This is maybe a silly question, but from the standpoint of the acquirer of the $10 million and with the additional warrants, it's a private placement, obviously. So that was basically negotiated directly by you with him, or was there anybody in between in the way of an agent?
No, we negotiated. Well, it wasn't just with Mr. Beattie. The placement was to several parties, of which Mr. Beattie was one.
and you presented them with forward-looking statements, I would imagine, in that effort to satisfy their...
No, we weren't. The financial statements were not prepared at that stage. So
I'm talking about projections out on...
No, we presented with public information.
Just public information. Okay, so there are no projections in that statement or whatever that only they have. Okay, that's my interest. I'm looking at Tom Meyer's report back where he has, and when he gets out, of course, you didn't meet anywhere close to the objectives in the last couple of years due to the cost arrangements, but he takes long term. I mean, the way I see the value of this thing is simply the net present value of the future cash flow stream, and I don't know what the guess is more now on cost, and you're saying cash cost of $1.25 or $1.30 you're hoping for this year, and you're at about $1.80 on copper price, so that's a 40-cent spread less all the other costs. I have to go back and look at even when the costs were, you know, when the price of copper was pretty high, the costs were up. Can you get any kind of shed any kind of light on what you think that the spread between the sales price and the cash cost plus other costs would be looking like? I mean, what's your feeling for that going forward?
Unfortunately, we don't have a better crystal ball than Tom's got. But Tom says in his report that you probably got there, the company has, based on his assumptions, the company has an NAV of $1.33 to $1.43 Canadian per share.
Oh, that's a recent report. I don't have it. I'm going back to the old one where, et cetera. Okay, that's what I was warned. So he's got a more recent report out?
Released today.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Like, do you have that on your site that I can pick it up?
It will. Do we link it? No, but I'm sure Tom would be happy to send it to you.
Because I got, I'm looking at the old one, and I was just trying to go back to that, but unfortunately it's very old now, with the situation. All right, well, I will try to acquire that to make some kind of guess, but he does come out with an NPV of $1.30. All right, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. It's been a difficult time for you, I'm sure, but it's also a difficult time for us as well.
Yeah, it is, and by the way, we're not insignificant shareholders ourselves, so we're feeling the same as you.
I understand that. Okay, good luck.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Dean.
Well, as our last caller said, yes, there's been challenges for all of us, not just in the capital markets, but also from an operating perspective. We're in a volatile time to be in business, particularly in the commodity business, with metal prices going one way and steel costs, power costs, electricity costs, oil costs going different directions, and the timing of those changes being different again. And, we, like our industry peers, are applying our best efforts to deal with those things, and hopefully from this call and from the report that we've dispatched on Wednesday, you can begin to see the merits of that starting to flow. Thank you for listening in, and we look forward to reporting on our Q1 in a month or so's time. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, your conference has now ended. All participants are asked to hang up their lines at this time, and thank you for your participation.